Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
1998, for many people, is the definitive year of WWE wrestling. The Monday Night War had gone nuts, Steve Austin was about to blow up, not literally. DX were pushing the envelope, and the energy from the crowds was something else. We were on the cusp. It did mean a lot went under the radar too, though, so let me give you some trivia to use down the line and prove to everyone it's you who is the number one sports entertainment nerd. But here is 10 things you didn't know about WWE in 1998. Number 10, the Quebecers reunited. If we're talking about 1993 and 1994, the Quebecers were running wild. They were a serious tag team when they decided to go to WCW in 1996. That didn't really work out before, yep, they gave it one last go 2 years after that back in the WWE. Jacques and Pierre didn't even have to wear their Mountie uniforms, as I think Vince McMahon knew we'd move past that. But they were still Super Canada and faced the Godwins of all people at No Way Out. They were relegated to a dark match before WrestleMania 14, when shortly after that, they were let go. I suppose because the tide had turned and WWE only wanted pairings that were going to swear and sometimes get naked. The Attitude Era in hindsight was super weird. Number 9, the NWA was all over the TV. Which seems wild, right? 1998 WWF seemed so focused on its own successes, you'd assume an odd story feud with the NWA would peter out quite quickly. But no. Somebody was clearly into this. Jeff Jarrett was indeed the NWA North American champion, though, with the Rock and Roll Express holding the tag team titles, and they were all over Raw. The Headbangers even defeated the Express on such a show to win these belts, before losing them to the new Midnight Express. This was crazy. The New Age Outlaws then challenged those guys at the King of the Ring pay-per-view, which was also wild, because on one side of the ring we had Billy Gunn, on the other, there was Bart. I think all in all, the National Wrestling Alliance were around for about 6 months. I did my maths. That's about half the year. Yet nobody talks about this today. Not sure if that's good or bad. Number 8, Vic Grimes and Erin O'Grady were signed after a dark match. For the younger viewer, before NXT and the Performance Center, it was the dark match where most new recruits were signed. You'd be sent out there before a TV taping as the powers that be watched you work. And if you impressed, a contract was often waiting afterwards. That happened prior to Raw in January 1998, where Vic Grimes and Erin O'Grady competed against one another. And yeah, they did all of the above. This was likely down to the fact that in all pro wrestling, they had taken on the David and Goliath roles, so they knew what would probably click, and they were right. Grimes didn't do much of anything other than get involved with Droz and Prince Albert before finding infamy with that crazy bump he did outside of the WWF, but I think you'll actually be far more aware of Erin. He got a brand new name when he hit the main roster and became none other than Crash Holly. Things considered, the man did all right. Number 7, the Outlaw Rule was formed on Raw. We do not need to highlight wrestling rules all of the time. Unless you're working a comedy match in Japan, for example, you can't bring a gun to the ring and don't try attacking the fans. None of this is going to work out well for you. Something that had clearly gone through the cracks was what could happen in a tornado tag match, however, as the New Age Outlaws exposed this when facing the Legion of Doom and the DOA on Raw. As it was just a melee, the Road Dogg laid down and let Billy Gunn pin him, meaning even though they lost, they also won. Can't lie, that was a creative idea. WWE officials were less than impressed though, so a new rule was actually brought in, and yes, it was called the Outlaw Rule for obvious reasons. From now on, in such a stipulation contest, you were not allowed to pin your own partner. Although really, while we are having this conversation, kinda feels like you should have locked that one down already. Number 6, Yokozuna was gonna come back. If he lost weight. Do not rewrite the story. In the early 90s, the most dominant WWF champion was Yokozuna. He wasn't just another big man, but was a huge dude who could move like he was half the size. He had the respect of everybody because of it. His last WWF outing came during a loss to Steve Austin during the SummerSlam free-for-all, as Vince McMahon had told Zunes that he had to go and lose weight. He had become too big and it wasn't healthy or safe. Once this had been achieved, Yoko could return in 1997 when there was a hitch. He struggled to get down in pounds, meaning the comeback was pushed back a year. When more issues arose, the state athletic commissions wouldn't allow Yokozuna to fight at this weight, because yeah, they too were worried. There was real hope he could kick this too, as people wanted him during the Attitude Era. Very sadly, the real knife Rodney Anoa'i never found the way. He passed away too soon in 2000. I tell you too, he would have smashed this period. He was one of a kind. Number 5, the Brawl for All's real plans. So most of you actually do know this story today, but it's worth repeating, just in case anybody ever actually thinks about doing anything this stupid again. The Brawl for All, however, was a Vince Russo creation where wrestlers would fight for real, instantly telling the fans that everything else you saw on the card was fake. I still cannot believe that we did this. The idea was that Dr. Dusty Williams would legitimately knock out everyone to establish himself as the real deal, when he could take on Steve Austin, who was the WWF's new top guy. Now that was a fine theory, but of course, when you're dealing with proper knockout blows, you don't know what's gonna happen. And yep, Bart Gunn just wanted to win, so smashed Williams so hard, he lost. Whoops. Poor Bart didn't even benefit from this, as management was so upset. Gunn had to face professional boxer Butterbean at WrestleMania, where he also got killed. Soon after he was released, let's never talk about this again. Number 4, and it ended Brakus's career. Remember Brakus? Probably not. He was a proper Vince McMahon late 90s dude, as he got hired based on his physique. Was so green, a planned program with Bret Hart was canned instantly. The bad part was Brakus had only a couple of proper wrestling matches when we threw him in the Brawl for All. I suppose because we couldn't find anybody else who would actually say yes. I don't think he was clued up properly though, as he didn't realise this was a full-on scrap and sort of went all work shoot with it. His opponent Savio Vega knew the deal, so Brakus ended up with a destroyed shoulder, broken knee, and a shattered nose. Number 3, the apparent plan for Bret Hart. So at WrestleMania 14, Steve Austin faced Shawn Michaels and we started a whole new era. However, if Bret Hart hadn't have gone to WCW, apparently the Heartbreak Kid wouldn't have been available for this role, because he would have been finishing his feud with the Hitman. All of this comes from the WWE-produced Greatest Rivalries DVD, where they all talk about the fact that this is what Vince McMahon did envision for the main event, and we were going to have Bret and Shawn for the world title. It makes the whole discussion of the Montreal Screwjob even more interesting, because how much of this was a sliding doors moment? If Hart doesn't go, does that mean Austin doesn't get his break? We don't know. I suppose now we don't really have to worry about it. You'd also have to figure that once we got through all that, the Rattlesnake would have still gone all the way to the top when we could have properly finished the Steve Austin Bret Hart feud. So let's stop thinking about this. It actually makes me feel quite sad. Number 2, WCW was a ratings machine. I don't want to get into the 83 weeks thing because we get it. WCW went on a massive run and then fell off and died. I mean, it's sort of true, but also not. It did get far more competitive once Raw had clawed its way back. But if we look at 1998, Nitro had a ton of victories in this regard. It basically became tennis, as one side would win and then be knocked off their perch 7 days later. And of course, this was the year WCW went all in and put Goldberg versus Hogan for free on television. Of course that was going to explode. For your knowledge, the last occasion did come on October 26 when Nitro beat Raw with a 5.1 rating to a 4.5. Admittedly, from there, though, well, we know, everything was going to spontaneously combust. Number 1, Shawn Michaels was only meant to be out for a year. Yep, that was the timetable WWE officials were working with, and how long they thought HBK would be out. So we knew the injury was bad, but even then, we undersold it. Michaels talked about this long ago on the Steve Austin podcast, and how it took crazy physio from the Royal Rumble to Mania just to keep his bones working. He thought he could still get away without surgery, which is why Shawn did return as the commissioner for a while. And as we know, that didn't last. Come 1999, he was opened up, and many thought that was it. Retirement was here. We all know the rest, thank goodness, but yes, this went from, oh, he'll be fine, to he's done so fast. Always remember that wrestling is super dangerous, and that you should respect these people. They really are giving us a lot. If you enjoyed that, you will now see a video on the screen, which is indeed for 10 things you didn't know about the WWF in 1994 to continue on this trivia journey. Like the video, subscribe, share, do all of those things, but otherwise have a lovely day. Take care and goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.